Well, let's open in our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 1. In this chapter, as I've said several times already, there are at least 100 separate blessings from God. And we're not going to enumerate all 100, but we're in verse number 3, which is just simply introducing the topic of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Let's read that verse, ask God to bless our time in His Word tonight, and then move along from there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, God tells us this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture, and Lord, as we spend just a few moments in it tonight, Lord, we ask that You would bless us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at two of the four things we find in this verse. The first thing that we found was the purpose of blessings from the first couple of words in the verse when it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason God blesses us is in order that God would receive the praise. Too often the only reason we want blessings is for our own personal benefit, and God doesn't get the praise, and then we wonder why God doesn't bless us more. And so He tells us right off the bat the reason He does it is so that we would praise Him. We saw, secondly, last time, the people of the blessings. And we saw that from the pronouns. It's going to refer to the blessings in this chapter, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The blessings here have nothing to do with those that have not yet received Him. If you're here tonight and you don't know 100% for certain you're on the way to heaven, then the blessings of this chapter are not for you. What's for you is just simply to receive Christ and secure that place in heaven, simply through faith. And He's going to talk more about that in chapter 2, the way of salvation, as simply through faith in the finished work that Jesus has done on the cross as He died for our sin. And we receive that sacrifice on our behalf. And then God imparts to us a new life, being born again, as we heard about with Kwasi, and as we'll see enumerated in the blessings that God gives to each and every one of us. This evening, I want to move along now to the peculiarity of the blessings. When we talk about being blessed by God, we often think of several things. We think of health, we think of a job, a good job, we think of all different kinds of things that God has blessed us with, but rarely do we think of the things that God is going to bless us with here in this chapter, these things that, as we saw, we already have. But notice when He talks about the blessings, He says, with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. These blessings are not the blessings that we imagined that God blesses us with. What He's trying to tell us is that physical blessings are easily perceived, while spiritual blessings are often overlooked. How often have you thought of the spiritual blessings God has given you in your life? Now, we often will thank God for our salvation, and that's as far as the spiritual blessings go. And so here in Ephesians chapter 1, God is going to enumerate many of the spiritual blessings that He has given you in order that you'll be aware of those things that God has given us. Now, keep in mind also, as He is talking about spiritual blessings rather than physical blessings or financial blessings or whatever other kind of blessings that we can see, touch, and hear, that God is trying to communicate to us the priority or the superiority of our spiritual good. You see, God isn't so much concerned with our physical good as He is with our spiritual good. Now, that's not to say that God isn't concerned with our physical good. But oftentimes, God gives us an absence of physical blessing as a spiritual blessing. All right, let me say that again, maybe in a little bit different words. The absence of physical blessings often is in itself a spiritual blessing. And so while we grow frustrated that God isn't doing more in our lives, and while we seem to think that God has left us, in fact, God is blessing us by withholding certain things in order that we can have our spiritual good benefited. Our eyes are so often only on the here and now and only on the physical that we so often miss the spiritual. And God wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to mature spiritually. And so oftentimes, He does that by withholding physical blessings as He seeks to make good men better through suffering. Think of all the Apostle Paul went through. Those things made the Apostle Paul a better man, a more spiritual man. Think of what James tells us in chapter 1, to count it all blessing when we fall into diverse temptations. You see, God tries to make the point throughout His Word that our spiritual good is more important to Him than our physical good. Our health, our checkbook balance, our savings accounts, our cars, our houses. God says our spiritual good trumps all of those. And so we see that the blessings that He's going to refer to here in this chapter are not what we imagined. We see that they're peculiar to the human mind. But let's consider the place of blessings. The place of blessings. He said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now, how many of you have a Rock of Ages study Bible? Do any of you have a little? Okay, a few of us do. They have a little gray note there. And what they say there is very common. If you read the commentaries and study this verse, they take that those two words, heavenly places, and they say it should be translated in the heavenlies. And then they do a little jumping through hoops with the human language or with the English language to say that the heavenlies, what it's talking about is just simply blessings such as, and the examples given in this note, forgiveness of sins and things like that, peace with God and true happiness. And so they say that's what it's talking about. But that just doesn't make sense. And that is not what God says. God said heavenly places. Now, when you hear the phrase heavenly places, what do you think of? The place where God dwells. Okay, is that simple? If you translate it differently, such as the heavenlies, and then try to say it doesn't mean in heaven itself, and give it these different definitions, such as the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, and true happiness as examples, you're saying that God blesses us with all spiritual blessings in spiritual ways. That's just redundant. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And so my statement is, so often, let the Bible define itself. Look in the same chapter down in verse number 21. I'm sorry, verse number 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand where? In the heavenlies? It says in the heavenly places. Exact same phrase. And here, if you try to make it say anything else than where God dwells, you completely distort Christian doctrine, the fundamentals of the faith. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is now seated with the Father on the throne of all that exists. Now, how can it say one thing in one verse and another thing in another? This word, or words translated heavenly places, are used in a couple other places as well. In chapter 2, verse number 6. There it tells us, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Again, exactly what we have in chapter 1, verse number 3. And no one tries to change what that means. That means that God sees us as seated in heaven right now. And it gives us security of our salvation to know that we're there right now in the eyes of God. It's as good as done. Salvation is always past tense. It can never be reversed. And so how can we change it in one spot when it says very clearly in two other spots that this is talking about the place where God dwells? The other place it's used is in chapter 3, verse number 10. Chapter 3, verse number 10 tells us, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, the principalities and powers is a reference to angelic beings, the angelic realm and the hierarchy there. Now, where do they dwell? They dwell not in happiness. not in the forgiveness of sins, such as the suggestion that the definition be heavenlies, but they dwell where God dwells. And so going back to chapter 1, verse number 3, we find that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the place that God dwells. Now, what does all of that mean to us? That's where our blessings reside? Well, it suggests at least four things. First of all, the location of these blessings reveal the security of these blessings, including salvation. As I say from time to time, on every page of Scripture, we find that once we're saved, we're always saved, that we can never lose that which God gives to us. And this is part of that assurance that we have in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, because as he's going to elaborate the blessings, these spiritual blessings that we have secure for us in heavenly places. In other words, no one can get to them and defile them, not even we ourselves. These blessings have reference to our salvation. And so the location reveals the security of these blessings. They are things that we never can lose. Things that once we receive them, they always belong to us. A second thing that the location suggests is their superiority. The superiority of these blessings. Again, the physical takes second place to the spiritual. The fact that these blessings are in heaven tells us that nothing on earth can compare to what God has given us. Now, we look at a lot of good things on earth. Praise God for our families. What can be better than family? Well, God is going to tell us what can be better than family. And it's hard for us to imagine that anything can be better than our spouse or our children. And the joy and the everything else that goes along with it that we receive from that family relationship. God's going to talk about the fact that we've been adopted into a new family. And he's going to talk about other things that are more precious to us than even our families. And we can go on. How about those Michigan Wolverines? They won today. Whoever thought that was going to happen? But, you know, there's things more precious than even the Michigan Wolverines. And for those of you that are sports fan challenged. I mean, how did Ohio State do this weekend? I'm going to ride this one for a while, aren't I? At least until Michigan plays again and loses. But anyway, there's things better than that. And God's going to let us know that. And he does it by saying that these blessings are in heavenly places. It shows the superiority of these blessings over anything God gives us here on earth. And so when we do without, as a spiritual blessing, as we do without the physical blessings, God is giving us something far better than what we feel like we're losing out on, far better than what we feel that we're missing. Now, the fact that they're in heaven, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, also not only speaks of their security, their superiority, but it speaks of the sacredness of these blessings. These are things that are gifts from God, sacred in nature, and to be treated as such, they should cause us to bow before a holy God and a loving Father and thank Him for the things that He has given to us. There are things that should cause devotion. There are things that should cause us to make decisions that we want to serve God with our life. As I talked this morning about the difference between being surrendered to Christ and being yielded to Christ. You know, so often we're not willing to go through the things that Paul was willing to go through simply because we're only surrendered and not yielded. You see, God can use anyone to do ministry that has nothing but great results. But you know, God's purpose of sending someone out to do something isn't always to have great results. Sometimes it's just simply to go into Nineveh as a later prophet after Jonah, a little over 100 years later, did, and preach the same message and have no results. God can't do that with someone who's only surrendered, because they will quit. He needs someone who's yielded to go through the difficult areas of Christian life and into the difficult areas of this world and just simply be faithful. And just simply be faithful. You see, these blessings are sacred in nature. And we don't go back on our commitment to Christ because we understand what God has given us. Fourthly, suggested from the fact that these blessings are in heavenly places, is the satisfaction of these blessings. Nothing can bring satisfaction like these spiritual blessings. Now, I enjoy good health. And that brings an amount of satisfaction. I enjoy being able to make ends meet at the end of the month. That brings a certain amount of satisfaction. But nothing brings satisfaction like the blessings that God is going to enumerate here, such as the forgiveness of our sins, such as having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, such as being adopted as children of God. Nothing can compare. And you know, in 100,000 years, think about that. Let's fast forward 100,000 years, and you're in heaven. How much time are you going to spend praising God that He gave you health? How much time are you going to spend praising God that He gave you financial security? Compared to how much time you're going to spend praising God that He offered you forgiveness of sins, that He gave you that blessed Holy Spirit, that He adopted you into His family, that He gave you a heavenly home. What really brings satisfaction? It's not the physical blessings. It's the spiritual blessings that we have in heavenly places, secure in heaven for us, given to us past tense. We saw that. Who hath blessed us, not will bless us, but hath blessed us. These things that we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come are all things that are ours in Christ for those that are saved and secure in our Savior. Father, we thank You for the many things You've given to us. Father, so often these spiritual blessings are taken for granted because through our physical senses we can't see them or sense them. Father, we're only aware of them by faith revealed to us in Your Word. And so, Father, as we consider these thoughts this evening, let our hearts rejoice and bow in praise at the same time for such a loving Father who gives so much to us, though we be undeserving. Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.